no one will ever know love until they truly let God love them through the Holy Spirit. Nobody will ever know it because it's a love that not only is eternal and inexhaustible, but it's a love that always absolutely heals when healing is permitted by the availability of the servant of God. Now, here we go with problems to the cross, looking toward the cross. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3 that the Lord is faithful who establish you and keep you from infections. He keeps us from infections. How does the Lord keep us from infections? He has ways, he has truth, and he has his life. Now, when we walk in his way with his truth and in his life, he has promised us some very unique things. Number one, he has said in Proverbs 3:8 in the original Hebrew that the word of God will be health to your nervous system. Quote, nervous system. The Hebrew says nerve centers. Then it uses the word sinews, the constitution of your entire bone marrow. And then it says moisture to your bones, and every nurse here and doctor knows what that means and the necessity of it in the body and what happens if you don't have it. So God says, listen, if you do not let mercy and truth forsake you, in verse 2 of that third chapter. Do not let mercy forsake you, because it will not. It'll endure forever. If you let it forsake you, it's you letting it forsake you, because you're occupied with the earthen vessel. Do not let the truth of love forsake you. And then it says, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, with all your heart, in intimacy, then I will take the complete and absolute responsibility for directing your path. That means I will be health to your nervous system and to your bone marrow and to the constitution of your cells. And I promise to. And not only that, as you bring forth the first fruit and give the first fruit to me in verse 9, then your barns will be filled in verse 10. And literally, barns means every need will be provided for and filled by God's provision. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:30 in the original Hebrew, and I'm going a little different. I'm not going to give you the Hebrew. I'm just going to quote it. It says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart shall have life and health to the entire body. Boy, I like that. Come on, some of you wake up tonight. Get with it. Come on. I want you to follow this. Why is it so hard to believe the Bible? Now, so a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are life and health to the entire body. And envy, jealousy, and wrath are as rottenness to the bones. Now, Proverbs 15:30 in the Hebrew says this. It's a very beautiful verse. The light in the eyes of him whose heart rejoices and rejoices others will find healing to the entire body. God keeps trying to catch our attention about healing for the entire body, for the soul, for the mind, for the marriage, for the emotions, for the will, for the consciousness. God keeps bringing this up over and over again. All right, Proverbs 16:24 in the Hebrew. Now, the Word of God says, as honeycomb is, so are pleasant words to the healing of the mind. As honeycomb is to the body, so are pleasant words as healing to the mind. pleasant words healing the mind. It says your mind can be healed by pleasant words. In the last part of 15:30 says, by the edification of speech from God's truth that nourishes and builds up the body into health. You know what I'm trying to do these past few weeks? Speak truth into you. You know what I've been trying to do? Speak health into you. You know what I've been trying to do? Speak love into you. You know what I've been trying to do? Speak a blessing into you. You know, and listen, and God says that He will establish us and keep us from infections. But the only way that God can deal with infections is through the cross.
Lena Bridges is here. Lena, would you just stand for a second? I want to tell the congregation, I want to share something with the congregation. Lena and her husband here, Bob. Lena works in the ministry with a really great project, and that is to categorize and put in order the teaching material of Dr. Stevens. Yeah. So she prepares these clips, and we have like thousands and thousands of hours of video notes. And so she's one of the projects that Tim Munson referred to. She's not the project, but she's been given a vast job, and so it's exciting to think that we can package books, booklets, tapes, videos of this great teaching. Isn't that awesome teaching? That is amazing. I love it that it's in us. Isn't that good? I love it. It's in us. It's our. Pleasant health to our bones. And Pastor said, what I'm doing, I'm speaking truth, and we respond in the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a light here. Do we have the light? Okay, Pier Ye is there? Okay, here we go. I can't see. Am I in the light? I am? I'm in the light. Okay. I'm in it. And that's amazing. We're in the light. And watch what happened. I walked away. Brilliant. Okay. I walked away. I've got many things to share. And I'd like you to read first of all, Genesis 45. Also, tonight we have communion. We wanted to do it this morning, but we'll do it next Sunday morning for the morning crowd. And then also come tonight, because that's the same crowd. Amen? Amen? All right, so tonight also we have the communion. Also, Wednesday night we have the band, the high school band, and a special program Wednesday night right here. Last night, there was an amazing Christmas concert here. Wasn't there? I heard there was. Was it good? Pastor Arto, was he? Excellent. Yeah, thank you. Pastor Shibeli is in New York. Pastor David Moore, Pastor Chris, Pastor Shibley in Silver Spring. We were in Florida for a Thursday night, Friday all day. We had a rap that lasted 7.5 hours. And we want to go. It was 1:30 in the morning, and the folks in the restaurant are just, you know, I was amazed they let us to be there that long, washing the dishes. And we had amazing with Pastor Moses, Pastor Foster came up from Jeff Brunty, Kathy, three mighty men with Pastor Foster. We had one brother said, I have not had a time like this in 5 years. And it was rich. I mean, Bible verses, ministry, I mean, just so built up and excited about this here. Okay? Isn't that awesome? We are in the light. The wagons are loaded and packed. And our heart is revived because we have lived to see. I had fainted unless I had seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. I want you to notice a few places. Genesis 45. Do you have your Bible with you? Talk to me. You do. I can't hear you. No, I'm not going to. You have your Bible. All right. I'm curious. How many of you, if you are between the ages of 12 and 30, would you stand up just for a second? If you are in that category, ages of 12 and 30. Okay, stay standing. If you're between the ages of 12 and 35, that's a pretty good crowd. How about in the mother's room? Anybody standing up over there? All right, we'll do 40 then. 12 and 40. Okay, if you're over the age of 117, please stay seated. All right, you may be sit down, please. Thank you. All right, Genesis 45. I was just curious. I had a conversation and thought about it, and I just wanted to see. All right, Genesis 45. Verse 25, they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. By the way, he had wagons, verse 19, out of the land of Egypt for little ones, your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Meaning when you come back, when you go, the wagons are going to go, and you're going to go get dad. And bring him, and don't forget, and don't worry about your stuff. It's low quality anyway. All the land of Egypt is rich. All that we need is here in Egypt. Come on, go get dad and bring him back and forget about your stuff. Anybody here ever leave any of your stuff anywhere? We got a lot of stuff we should leave behind. Verse 22. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. You see that you don't drop out along the way. Go on this mission. You've got all of this richness that I'm sending with you. See that you don't fall out by the way. That's a good message in itself. Like you and I are on a mission, we are in a vision, God has a calling in our life, and God, the Holy Spirit, has given us His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, and this is the basics and the fundamentals of our faith. Now, I was talking to somebody in Florida, and they said, you know what, I think it was there. You know what? They said there's a basketball coach, you know, I think he's Duke University. Do you know his name? Yeah, just say it.
Mike Krzyzewski.
Krzyzewski? Okay. Mike Krzyzewski. Yeah, that's close enough. You can't do better. No. Okay. So they said, how do you go into a championship? And he said, we teach the fundamentals. We go back to the fundamentals. Dribbling, passing, blocking, defending. We go back to the fundamentals. How do you win a championship? You can't, and he said it this way. This is, of course, I didn't hear it firsthand, but I'm using it for my message. You can't go into a championship without the fundamentals. And the Christian life is this one. It's not us, it's that light. It's not us, it's God. God is at the basis of our life. And this is the Holy Spirit that was given to you to walk and be filled with the Holy Spirit, because God has sent us on a mission. And he's loaded our wagons. And he's given us what we need to go so that we can tell. And we can say, he's alive. Joseph is alive. Dad, he's alive. Look at verse 25. They went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Dad, it's amazing. He's alive. I think of Israel. Pastor Ben shared when we were in Jerusalem that if the Jewish people, they have a different way of thinking about the Messiah. And one Orthodox Jew said to him, if that is true, then we are in a lot of trouble. If Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus of Nazareth, if he is the Messiah, then we are in a lot of trouble. And I feel that this verse might reflect that a little bit. What? He's alive? He's a ruler in Egypt? It's so disappointing to hear. You've got to be kidding. Don't play with me like that. I don't believe you. It's not something to joke about. I'm already guilty. I've already lost. I feel my life is a life of vanity. He said it at the end of the book here, when Jacob said before Pharaoh that his life had been a life of hard toil and vanity. Jacob is a picture of a man who has struggled in this life as a believer. But it seems that Jacob's life wasn't always in the light. He was a man that was in and out. And that can happen to us too. But we should be careful, because we have something that is so rich and is so awesome that it touches our hearts and builds us up. He's alive. Look at when he saw the wagons, verse 27. They told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. You know, I've got to be careful to see the wagons. Because there's a spirit in the world that says there's no wagons. He's dead. Yeah, I know somebody said he's the ruler in Egypt, but it's not true. No, that Christ went, we don't know about Christ, but it's not, you can't put your trust in it, you can't believe it. Nice talking, good idea, but it's not real. The devil in Ezekiel 28, it says, verse 16, now through verse 18, this is very amazing. I want you to follow it with me. He trafficked in heaven. Louis Berry Schaefer said, the devil, when the iniquity was in him, did he leave heaven right away? When he was cast out, Luke 10:18, like lightning, it didn't happen right away. God allowed Satan in heaven to traffic. Louis Berry Schaefer said that in his commentary on that verse, and I read it and thought about it, and I believe it, because he went in heaven to the angels. And he told a message to the angels that were in heaven. And he went around. Maybe they were like the angels are beautiful and wise. And they have wisdom. The Philistines said, David, you are as wise as an angel of God. And Lucifer was beautiful and wise and perfect in his wisdom. But iniquity, his self-life, rose up and it polluted his beauty and his wisdom. And as he was in heaven in that mindset with another message, and he went around, and maybe there were weaker angels there in heaven, though perfect, and though in the presence of God, but maybe inclined to believe a lie. And he sowed his seed in heaven. Revelation chapter 12 says that a third of the angels fell. That's a large percentage, I would say. That lie has come here into me and you, into our hearts. Any kind of jealousy that you feel, any kind of insecurity, any kind of self-preservation, any kind of lie, deceit, anything in you and I, the accusation, the guilt, the condemnation, the fear, the consequence of our sin is very much a part of our hearts. And we don't see the wagons. God is here and I knew it not, Jacob said, when he slept with his head on the stone. The pillow was a stone. And by the way, stones, I don't think, make good pillows. But if God is in the pillow, if God is in the stone, even our messages might seem like a stone, but maybe that's a pillow. And maybe the sword might be without mercy, but maybe that sword is a word of mercy. And maybe that thing that God might put you through, it might seem like a stone, but when God is in it, it might be the very place where I have a vision. For Jacob had a vision and he saw a ladder that went from the earth to the heavens and angels coming and go upon it. And when he woke up, he said, God was here, but I didn't know it. God was in my stone. He was a pillow for me. God is the answer and the way and the truth. But Lucifer in heaven would say to the angels, it's not true. God is a demon. You cannot trust him. He will rip you off. He is not fair. It is not true. We are the way. We are the truth. We are the life. I know you can believe me. You can trust me. And from him was born the great conspiracy. And we are living in the consequences of it today on this earth. It is the fall of man. And we are very much like our father, the devil. For that same iniquity that was in him has been born in us by sin. We speak the same. We traffic with the same. We say there are no wagons. There is no grace. There is no message. There is no God. There is no Holy Spirit filling. It's all empty. It's not true. There is no power. Save yourself. You've got one life to live. The beer commercials say it. You got one life to live. Get all the gusto you can. Live it your way. The magazines, the me magazine, the I magazine, the ego magazine. We are living in a day and age where it says in 2 Timothy 3:1, rather in the days where perilous times shall come. In these, help me, just kick it off and I'll get it. Knowing this, there we go, thank you. Forgive me. Knowing this, that in the last days perilous times, it means dangerous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And men will traffic in this world. It's everywhere. The word cosmos is the Greek word for order, world. And this is 175 times used in our Bible. And it is a very great theme. It's used this way. Jesus said, John chapter 1, John said it regarding Christ. Christ came and he was the light of the world, but the world received him not. Imagine this person that in his heart there was never anything impure. No lie ever entered into his heart. He was Christ. He was God as a man. Imagine he came and reveals to us God, and the world knew him not. In verse 4, doesn't know him. We have a fabric woven of cold formality, heartless decency, proud self-complacency, highly esteemed external respectability. We say, oh, I am quite a good man, you know. Oh, yes, have you seen my behavior? You know my status. You know who I am. And we say we're not impressed. Because God knows the heart of a man. And there is no way here except a unique way where the nature of God is given to you and the Holy Spirit fills you. And we're talking about basics. Go back to the basics and learn again about the filling of the Holy Spirit. I was speaking to Nancy Phelps on the phone, and we just had a fellowship on the phone and talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking in my own heart, I was saying, Lord, may I not be presumptuous and think that I can live this life without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know, I don't see the wagons. But blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are they that are studying the Scriptures and taking out the grace of God revealed unto us in the face of Jesus Christ. And to learn it all over again, the grace of God, the exceeding greatness of His mercy shown to us. The theme was Psalm 27. We'll turn and read a few. This was really the main text, but God is leading us this way. Verse 20, chapter 27, look at it with me. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Read that with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Have you ever feared a person? Have you feared King Ahab? Have you feared people? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should camp against me. My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that's going back to the basics, that I will seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his tabernacle. That's what I want to do. I want to see the wagons. Devil says there aren't any wagons. There's blood. There's a bloody garment. Your son is dead. There is no salvation. There is no answer. But God says, oh yes, I saved him. Because you can't overcome me. Even Lucifer, I give you a leash like a dog, a wild animal, and a beast. I'll give you a leash, but your days are numbered. I'll let you traffic in heaven, and even a third of the angels are gone. I'll even send you down on the earth, onto this little planet, but out of the dust, I'll create a man, and then you can eat him. That's his free will. That's your choice. You can try as you may. I let you go. And he ate us. You're a serpent eating from the dust of the ground. But Christ came, born of a virgin, made of the seed of David. Out of the dust of the ground, truth came up. Oh, truth came up, out, sprang up out of the, as a root out of dry ground. And this Messiah came, and here he is. He came up out of the ground, light. I mean spiritual light, not like human goodness and phony respectability and status that is carnal and cosmos. But this world could never overcome the world. A man of the world could never overcome the Satan that is in the world. He is too deceitful. We are too much like him. How could Satan be against Satan? If he did, his house could not stand. But his house is collapsing on itself. His house is limited. His hatred and anger can only last only so long. His nature, it is what it is, and it will be eternal in hell. For the hell, God made hell for the devil and his angels. And we will also go there if we do not have a salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He sent Christ into the world so he would come into us. And we would be born again and born from heaven and not of the cosmos. And then sent into the cosmos to share the message and say, Dad, he's alive. We've seen him, Dad. Yeah, he's a governor, the king. He's a governor of Egypt. Dad, he is here. And his heart fainted. And then when he saw the wagons, his heart was revived. And when we see the grace of God and the Spirit of God, and we'll close with that verse there in verse 13. That I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, I had fainted, but then I saw the goodness of God in the Spirit of God. In a prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit filled me. In my closet at home, the Holy Spirit filled me. I had this jealousy come up in my heart, and even a revenge, and I despised, and I didn't like, and I was troubled, and I was troubled about a detail. I was troubled about the parking lot. I was troubled about a track. I was troubled about a publication. I was troubled about somebody's face. And they had eaten too much pizza, and they looked funny. And when they looked at me, I thought they didn't like me. I was troubled. It said I had fainted on the mission field. And all these faithful people that are out there on the field, and Pastor Fuad in Azerbaijan, and one of our elders had to go to the minister of religion in that country. And this man is, and I probably on the internet, they might be watching. Hi, Pastor Fuad, and I'm telling a story about one of your governmental officials. Yeah, this is the way it is. Because they make it hard for people that are believers in Christ. When we have a opportunity, and in that country we have an amazing church, about 800 people and growing, and people that are ministering, and a beautiful thing. And when you live in a place where they don't make it easy for you, and you go see somebody, and you might see somebody else, and they might, and the whole situation might be a bit sensitive. It said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, where God would become my strength. I have fainted in Gethsemane, but Christ was living and trusting, and he was strengthened in his inner man. And he did what he did. Like us. Though imperfect, very different. Finite, limited, created creatures. But we've been put in him. And now we have become with him a co-heir, an inheritor of all that he has. In Romans 8:16-17. Now we have been made members of the household of God. In Ephesians 2:20. We are citizens of heaven. In Philippians 3:20. Our passport is from heaven. And now we live here. Azerbaijan, Sweden, Turkmenistan, India, some faraway place in a third world country, with things that trouble us in our hearts. And you and I, we know how that trouble. And then when we are troubled, we traffic in our trouble. We go and tell people about our trouble, and we are not spirit-filled. We do the same thing that Lucifer did in heaven. We take our trouble and we pass it around. And the Lord says, knock it off. Look at the wagons. Knock it off. I am here. You see the wagons? I see them, and I am revived. I say, oh, it's so good to walk with God. It's good to put a guard at my mouth and a guard at my heart and to bring things right in the light. Here's the dark thing in my heart, and I bring it right here into the light. Say, Lord, look. Then he says, thank you very much. I've taken care of that. Now walk by faith. And what else you want? I say, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm knocking on the door. Will you open it? The door just swings wide, huge door opening up for us. And I say, Lord, will you heal me and minister to me and teach me doctrine, high dosages of doctrine. Some people, they need high dosages of doctrine in their soul and get built up and relearn and get established again and get in the fundamentals and play a championship basketball game in this lifetime and make your life count and say, look at the wagons. The wagons, look at the wagons. They are full of riches, exceeding great. Let's go. And they went back, and the Pharaoh gave them the best land in Egypt, and they lived there in the plan of God, and then came out, as he had promised to Abraham, 430 years later, in the perfect timing and the perfect plan. We have a Christmas season. We have a living Savior. We have an answer for the world. We have salvation. Don't take it lightly. We have a message of the gospel. We have prayers that move mountains. We have a living Bible. We have the body of Christ. We have each other. Do not spoil it by sowing anything that is from that human nature of ours. Why walk ye as men, but instead walk as a child of God? In a world of darkness that needs to see something that's different. Not our human respectability, but lift up thou the light of your countenance upon me. For in Psalm 4, many say, who will show me any good? And in that psalm it said, verse 11, but Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon me, and then they will see something, not human goodness, divine goodness, God's life and truth. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Let's pray. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and never accepted the Lord Jesus, would you do it today by faith on the internet? Would you please come? Pastor Fuad, we love you and your church and are praying for you. And may that beautiful country of Azerbaijan be blessed by God. And we love it and we pray for the people there and the work of God there. And the Spirit filling all the believers around the world. But we must make certain decisions and we must decide. God's goodness is toward us. Let us believe Him and let us come to Him by faith. Would you come by faith? By faith, come to the Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart in Jesus' name. Raise your hand, please. If you're asking Him, there's over here a woman. Anybody else? Raise your hand. I'm accepting Christ on the internet. Say, there's another one right over there. There's another one. Thank you. There's three folks. I love it when people have an opportunity in a church service to make a decision and put their trust in Him. Anyone else? Raise your hand.